How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Hey there, and welcome to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales and Jay King. Here for you, this is the Friday show in our Monday through Friday affair. Here for you 5 days a week so you can plug us in your car, in your headphones, in your wherever you need to listen to us and get your Celtics fix. Thanks for listening, downloading, subscribing on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you very much. And to show you our dedication, I am in my home office, but Jay King is joining the show fresh from a huge, huge men's league basketball win.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dominant win. I actually had this. I had like four and ones. I felt physically dominant today.
Did you yell often. And one after each one?
Hold on, I did the points of the biceps thing after one of them.
Get out.
Yeah. Well, I figured, you know, I don't get many opportunities to do that. So I had to flex a little bit. I had to point to the biceps. You know, when you have four and ones, you got to point to the biceps.
That is just, I wish there was a video element to this because my jaw has dropped significantly.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's one of my favorite things in the NBA is the yelling and one after each drive to the basket. And it's just phenomenal. Everybody thinks they got fouled. Everybody yells and one. It's great. Okay, so just here's what's coming up in the show. We're going to try to have some fun on today's show. We got the mystery machine, my first mystery machine of the season. I'm excited about this. It's a lot of pressure.
It's a big deal.
I didn't realize, like, the pressure that's involved. I'm already feeling that. We'll look at the Golden State Warriors game. We'll see if there's an update. And we're going to start with Jay King admitting something about me being right. Jay, care to take that?
So we got to go with this from the start, okay?
No, of course. Of course.
Yeah, got to get this out of the way.
Hey, if you can point to your damn bicep in a game, I can start with me being right for once on a show.
John... For once, right. He during the preseason, he said that Brad Stevens is a little more sarcastic these days. He's a little different. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. I didn't think he was right. I didn't think John was right at first. I'm giving it to him now.
You called me out. I saw something in Brad Stevens that made me feel like he's a little more sly. He's just throwing little digs at people. Nothing, you know, bad, nothing negative, but in a Popovichian way, I could see. And, you know, he and Greg Popovich are boys. They are always talking, those guys.
You know what happened? He became friends with Bill Belichick this summer, and bam, all of a sudden... Little sarcastic side coming out, not always forthcoming with the media. So,
I love it.
John Corrales is right.
I love it.
I'll give this round to John Corrales.
My name is John Corrales, and I approve this evolution of Brad Stevens because I just love that little bit of mystery. I love that little bit of, you know, dark side. This is just an interesting thing to see where he goes because he has this reputation of Mr. Aw shucks, golly gee, blah, 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 which we know he is not. You cannot be an NBA coach or any kind of basketball coach, really, at any advanced level, being a golly gee, whatever kind of guy.
To be fair, compared to most coaches, I would say he is most definitely an aw shucks guy.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, comparatively speaking, he's on the low end. I mean, he's not like Tibbs out there, or who are like Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy. He's not, you know, Stan Van Gundy is on the other side.
Build a fucking wall.
I love that. He's the best. But, yeah, but look, I think Brad Stevens, he's just taking little steps. He's a young guy. He's got a lot of time in this league. He's going to start getting sick of you guys around him every day. And so he's going to start busting your balls. So I like it. I like it. So the one thing, let's get this out of the way now. Horford, Crowder, this is the Friday show. And, oh, let me just look at the schedule and see who we play on Friday night. Oh, look, it's the Golden State freaking Warriors. So are we going to have a full squad?
Maybe. So the Celtics did not hold a formal practice.
Return of the shrug emoji.
Thursday, which means we have no clue whether Al Horford and Jay Crowder have progressed enough to play against the Warriors on Friday night. So we'll see. Horford went through like two or three workouts on Wednesday, which is, you know, he's clearly feeling better. He's close to a return. And one thing he said was during his concussion, he really did not get a chance to keep up his conditioning. So he's been working on that lately. You know, maybe he'll get a chance against the Warriors. Brad Stevens said, like, if he's ready, yeah, we're going to throw him right in. Like, yeah. Like, who cares? It's the Warriors. We'll throw you right in. So we'll see. We'll see. The Celtics really need both of those guys back. You know, they've survived without them, though. I will say this. Like, as much as we've had concerns about the defense, as much as we've had concerns about the rebounding, the Celtics are 6-5, and Jay Crowder and Al Horford have missed almost the whole season. Like, when you look at it that way, two of your three or four best players have missed most of the season, and you're above 500, that's a pretty good start. A lot of people will feel concerned because they're almost 500. They were supposed to be, you know, a top two seed in the East, whatever, top three seed at least. And it's a good start. 6-5, I think, is a good start, especially now that the defense has started to come together. There are a lot of positive signs from the 6-5 start. So, still the number 8 offense without those guys. Like, once those guys get back, how good is this offense going to be? I don't know. We'll see.
I think I agree with you. There's no need to panic. Although, my favorite things I saw on Twitter today was somebody tweeting at you saying, I don't know, man. they're like 6-5. They're down whatever in the standings. They need to make a trade. And you're like, yeah, they should probably acquire guys like Jay Crowder and Al Horford. Like, those guys are coming back, everybody. I know when we caught up in the moment, we get the blinders on, we're like, ah, shit, what the? We almost lost to the Mavericks. Step one, we didn't lose to the Mavericks. So you won that game. I don't care how ugly it was, you won. That's a good, positive thing. We're just going to move forward with that. And next, really, when we came into the season, if you had to list the top three players on the Celtics, you'd say Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, and then it was a toss-up between Jay Crowder and maybe Avery Bradley.
I would say before the season, it wasn't a toss-up. It was Jay Crowder above Avery Bradley.
Yeah. Now, obviously, Avery Bradley's had one hell of a start to the season. And I don't even think I should qualify it as a start to the season. I feel like this is his season. I mean, he took a couple of shots in that Dallas game. One drive baseline at the end, the layup, one of the two non-Isaiah Thomas baskets in the last 7 minutes of the game. That drive baseline in the finish.
Which is crazy, by the way. Isaiah Thomas was out of his mind.
I mean, that fourth quarter, and Sam and I talked about it a little bit last night. That was just, I mean, 180 degrees. When you talk about flipping the switch, when the guy had 8 points on three of 13 shooting or something, all of a sudden,
click. Oh, remember me, I'm Isaiah Thomas. I'm the best fourth quarter scorer around. Boom.
He's relentless. He never loses confidence. Like, there are a lot of guys in the league, they miss a few shots, it bothers them. Not for Isaiah. Like, no. It doesn't matter to him. He could miss. He's like a Ray Allen type. He could miss 20 in a row. It does not matter one bit because he thinks he's going to score 20 in the fourth quarter no matter what.
Right.
And sometimes he does. And sometimes he has 22 in the fourth quarter. And sometimes that holds off the Mavericks.
Yeah, so, man. That was crazy. Man,
Isaiah Thomas is electric. He is electric. He's unbelievable. Like 5'9", get the hell out of here. How do you do that?
It's unreal. It really is phenomenal. I can't even – there are no words to describe what he did last night. But back to Avery Bradley. That baseline drive and layup, he never did that. I would bet you could go through play-by-play of his entire career, and you might find – one or two instances of something similar. Like, he never did that play. And then there was a play in the first half where I don't know who it was, but he was on the left corner, and he just kind of took a dribble to his right and then kind of took like this step back three that he nailed.
I think it was Harrison Barnes too, who was like 5 inches taller than he is.
He never did that. It's just, he's just so much more confident, so much more fluid. He can dribble now, which is something that for a long time he couldn't do. It's just amazing what Bradley has done. But you're right, at the beginning of the season, we wouldn't have put Bradley above Crowder because Crowder is just so versatile at that swingman spot. That's an important spot because you're guarding LeBron. If he does play against the Warriors, he's going to be guarding Durant. So that's
and that's huge. Like even against the Mavericks, you saw it. Harrison Barnes missed a lot of shots early on. By the end of the night, like he was just hitting jumpers over Marcus Smart and over Avery Bradley, whoever else was guarding him. It was just the Celtics. They didn't trust Jaylen Brown or Gerald Green to guard him, and then everyone else was just too short to guard Harrison Barnes, or at least too short to really impact his shots. And they forced him into all the mid-range shots, like everything they wanted him to take. They just couldn't bother him enough to force him into a bad night because, you know what, they didn't have Crowder. And I think the Warriors, like I'm probably getting ahead of us in the show right now, but the Warriors, like, if you remember last year when the Thunder came in and Kevin Durant, Crowder was out against the Thunder. Marcus Smart started on Kevin Durant. Durant had like 8 points in the first 30 seconds. It wasn't really 30 seconds, but it felt like it. It was like he posted up, scored over Smart, posted up again, scored over Smart. Marcus Smart is an unbelievable defender. It doesn't matter to Kevin Durant because he's 6 inches taller and he can just turn around and shoot over the top and score. So you miss Jay Crowder quite a bit. You miss Al Horford quite a bit. And we talk about this every show, but it's like every day on Twitter, somebody's coming at me like these guys, like they've really been struggling. Like no, they're 6-5. They're above 500, and they've missed two of their best players almost the whole season. Let's relax, guys.
Dude, the cops are right behind you, man. Just put the phone down for
that.
That
was actually an ambulance. An ambulance. I am not speeding right now. I am not breaking the law in any way. So it wasn't me, guys. Just know it wasn't me.
All right. So before we get into the Warriors game, I would just like to remind everybody that we are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And being part of a network, there are shows all over the place. So if you are so inclined, this is a Friday game day podcast. We are the Locked On Celtics podcast. They play the Warriors. There is a Locked On Warriors podcast. Why not check them out? Check out Locked On Warriors, see what they're saying about the game. We're going to preview that game a little bit, but they are a good resource to, you know, check out what the other team is saying. And there are Locked On everybody else. There's Locked On Pistons. You want to check out those guys. You check out our upcoming opponents, a Locked On NBA show, Locked On Fantasy. Look, I know you all got fantasy teams out there. You can DM me. People do that and ask me for advice. Or they do, and I'll give it. But
why aren't people asking me for advice, man? That's messed up.
Or, look, help Jay out. DM Jay for some.
Yeah, let me feel important too.
Yeah, some fantasy questions. That's all right. You know, got fantasy trades. You can ask Jay too. He's around. But you can also listen to the Locked On Fantasy podcast, which is a great show, an awesome show. I did the Celtics preview for them, and it's just good stuff. So check out the Locked On Podcast Network and all of our great podcasts. Okay, so Golden State Warriors. They're a good team, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, they have a little bit of talent. You know, they won a few games last year.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think they might get to the finals.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think you're right.
Yeah.
And even if they don't, they'll be the best offensive team in the league this season.
So, okay, let's be real here. I think if I'm guessing, I'm just guessing, I feel like Horford will probably be back for this game. I'm less confident in Crowder. I feel like Crowder might be back on Saturday, but
I will say this. If there's one team Crowder wants to play,
yeah,
it is the Golden State Warriors after Kevin Durant decided not to come to the Boston Celtics.
How about this?
I think everyone else reacted rationally to Kevin Durant going to the Warriors.
Jay went off.
And Crowder was kind of like, you know what? Like, screw that guy.
he should come
to Boston. So
one of the best quotes out of last night was Isaiah Thomas talking about the Warriors. I don't remember what he said. You might remember the words. I don't remember exactly what he said about the Warriors. He was like, yeah, okay, it's cool. I'm cool with Kevin Durant. But then he said, but Jay might still be mad, though.
Someone asked him if he had any animosity. And he said, no, I'm well past that. And then he started laughing. He's like, Jay might still be mad, though.
That was so great. That is so great. And if that doesn't, like, to me, Jay Crowder is such a perfect Boston athlete. That dude is just mad at the opposition. Just go out there, grind. He's got a lot of talent, obviously, but he's not going to go out there and just by sheer force of talent be great. He's out there grinding. He's a total blue-collar guy. I think Crowder is a total Boston sports perfect athlete. With his style of play and everything, and this just fits right in.
Like, I get a kick out of him because he's a little crazy. Like
a little.
He does not react regularly to things like Kevin Durant deciding to go to the Golden State Warriors. he just doesn't like. He reacts very differently than I would say most people would. And it just cracks me up. Like he's just a very intense man. I'll put it that way. He really does crack me up. I thoroughly enjoy Jay Crowder's reactions more than anything else. I wish he had been healthy. Not just so that he could play Kevin Durant Friday and maybe he still will, but so that I could have talked to him about Kevin Durant and heard what he thinks about Kevin Durant at this time, because I don't know, he couldn't say anything. He could be like, yeah, whatever, like Kevin Durant is like, he decided to go to Golden State, I'm okay with it. Or he could have been like, you know what, screw Kevin Durant. I hate that guy. He never should have gone to Golden State. It was a cop-out move. So yeah, I'm a big Jay Crowder overreaction guy.
So let's get to the game. Let's just take a look at what we can expect. If we do have Horford back, that'd be obviously great. But can the Celtics stop Golden State, which has the best offense in the world? But they're on the other side, they are susceptible on D. They don't have a rim protector, and Isaiah Thomas has this knack for getting to the rim. So, and if Horford's there, that's an opportunity. So, on paper, obviously the Warriors are a lot better, but there are weaknesses, and the Celtics could exploit them.
Yeah, but also the Celtics have some weaknesses, and the Warriors could probably exploit those too. So here's the thing. The Celtics have always done a great job, better than maybe anyone else, guarding Stephen Curry, because they have Avery Bradley, they have Marcus Smart, they have guards who can fight over screens and continue to pursue and really do a great job doing that. So, I mean, if you look at last year, they lost in a, I think it was a double overtime game against the Warriors in the first game. And then they beat the Warriors in the second game without Crowder, which was stunning. They ended a 50-plus home game winning streak for the Golden State Warriors. It was just really, really a stunner. But the thing is, like, their guards, they match up well. Like, there are not a lot of teams that can guard Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry. Okay, well, here's Marcus Smart and here's Avery Bradley. So have fun. Like, obviously they're going to still get theirs and they're going to still get their points, but Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley are incredible at evading screens and sticking with guys and forcing guys into tough shots. So they did the same to the Warriors last year. Now I think they might not match up as well. I mean, I'm really going out on a limb here saying they might not match up as well against the Warriors now that the Warriors have Kevin Durant. That's really going out on a limb. That is a bold prediction right there. But especially without Crowder, it's like if you have to have Smart guarding Kevin Durant and giving up 6 inches, that might be a mismatch. And then if you have that takes Smart off one of the other guys, and you have Isaiah Thomas guarding Curry, maybe Bradley guarding Thompson, and your matchups aren't as solid all around. So, it's not like I'm not convinced that last year's success against the Warriors will necessarily continue this year, especially if Crowder misses and if Crowder's not at full health, which he probably won't be since he's missed more than 2 weeks.
You know what? I've just decided we need Crowder. We need Crowder to guard Kevin Durant, and not in the obvious way, not in the, well, we could really use him as a swingman, one of the best defensive swingmen in the league. I mean it in the, I need to see pissed off Jay Crowder guarding the guy that he views as screwing the Celtics. So... I've just decided that now. Like, this has to happen. It must. It absolutely must happen.
So. I'm fully on board with angry Jay Crowder versus whatever Kevin Durant. But I mean, you look at Kevin Durant, like Russell Westbrook, he went out and like basically went on an apology tour to Russell Westbrook before playing the Thunder. Like he went to every media outlet and he said, like, I want to make things right with Russell. I think at one point we're going to make things right. He's my brother, whatever. And Russell was like, not having it.
Nope.
And then it didn't matter. Durant tore out the Thunder's soul, like just murdered them. So he might be one of those spiteful dudes who just doesn't really say a lot publicly about it and just tries to kill you.
Well, one thing that I've learned about Kevin Durant is that he's super sensitive and he sees everything. He hears everything. So, I mean, it's entirely possible he might even hear this podcast. And I know I'm not...
I'm 100% convinced. He's a podcast listener. He's got to be. Why would he be?
And I'm not, like, saying this in a vain way. I do not believe... I do not believe that any real Celtics players listen to the podcast. People in the organization
hey, come on,
probably
come
do.
On, man. They all listen.
Right. Of course. I know that Kelly's listening in his headphones before the games. Of course. But, like, legitimately, I feel like somebody would tell Durant, like, yo, these dudes were talking to you in this Locked On Celtics podcast. He'd be like, oh, really? Okay. Let me just pop that on and see what they had to say. Like, he is super sensitive and hyper aware of what's being said. He is not fooling anyone if he ever says, oh, I don't read the press clippings. People who may say that in the league might actually not read what the media says about them. Durant is very aware of everything. So that's just surprising to me. I didn't think that he was that kind of guy, but he is. So, and then maybe that makes him vengeful. Maybe that makes him spiteful and want to go and just burn people to the ground that are defending him and piss on their ashes. But
so,
whatever.
So should we say this just in case he listens? Kevin, you're fantastic. You're probably going to kill the Celtics. Like, you can really take it easy if you want.
You can say that. I'm going to sit there and be like, Jay Crowder has a point.
Oh, here we go.
I'm Team Crowder. What you going to do about that? What? I think the answer there would be dropping 50 on the Celtics. But look, I just need Crowder out there to guard him and just to have that matchup, just to see how it goes. By the way, speaking of the Warriors, how funny was the video of Klay Thompson drinking a Coors Light during an interview?
And I love that video.
The exaggerated, he takes a sip and he's like, blah, 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 blah.
Coors Light, it's just so delicious once it hits your lips, man.
So good once it hits your lips. What the hell is up with Klay Thompson?
No, I was a big fan of that because, you know, guys probably drink after games, especially if you don't have a game the next day. Like, yeah. Why not drink? Why not have a couple beers?
Beers after work? Who doesn't do that?
Doing it in front of the media is just a wonderful move. Rasheed Wallace used to do that. He used to have beers in his locker, and he would occasionally drink.
Lord knows what Larry Bird had.
I mean, those guys, they used to be on another level when they were drinking, or at least another level publicly. But back then there was no social media. There was nothing like that. So it didn't matter. It never got out. Now, you know, Klay Thompson sips a beer, sips a Coors Light, which is amazing.
Hilarious.
And everyone sees it. And I'm a big fan of that move. Like, just grab a Coors Light. You know, sometimes you need a Coors Light.
Sometimes you just need a Coors Light while talking to the media just to get through it. All right, that is a nice transition into some fun. I asked for some questions from people on Twitter just because I didn't have any mental energy to come up with any fun ideas for the show. So I threw out some questions. I said, give me questions. Give me something to talk about fun on the show. So people responded. There are a couple of fun things. Celtics Mike, at Celtics Mike, asks, what's your first Celtics memory? And your first garden experience. So, I remember my first Celtics memory, and my Celtics experience is a lot different from everybody else's because my parents came from Greece. Both of them were born there. They came over here a couple of years before I was born. So I don't have that long history of, you know, my grandfather was a Celtics fan and my father was a Celtics fan, and we grew up in the air. No, none of that. My family settled in Rhode Island because my dad's brother happened to be here, and I was born in Rhode Island, and just there was no history of that. So when I first got exposed to basketball, I remember I was probably like 9 years old, which put me in like the early 80s. So Bird, we're in like 82, 83. And I remember the first memory I had watching the Celtics was, how does a team win? Because everybody keeps making baskets. I didn't remember anybody missing a shot, and it just was like, all of these guys just keep making shots. How does a team win if everybody just keeps making shots? So that's my first, literally my first Celtics memory watching the Celtics. I remember, and now I'm an old guy. I'm 43. So I
damn, you're getting up there. I'm getting up there, bro.
There's no even masking it. I'm getting up there.
I feel like I'm old as hell, and I'm 29.
Oh, shut the fuck up. I had a TV, and people my age will know this. My TV had a big wooden case around it. Like, it was a big honking piece of furniture that was like 4 feet wide, but the screen was 2.5 feet wide. And
we're really relating to the whole audience now.
No, I'm just telling people how it used to be back in the day. The remote, I was the remote. My dad would say, go change the channel. I'd walk up there and turn the dial. So I remember watching the Celtics. I remember the parquet floor. I just remember thinking, oh, nobody misses shots. So that's my first Celtics memory. My first gardening experience, because, again, I didn't grow up in this culture. So I didn't get to the Boston Garden, the original Boston Garden, until I was in college. And my first ever Celtics game was Shaq's rookie year with the Magic. And I went specifically to go see the Orlando Magic because I was a huge Shaquille O'Neal fan when he was at LSU. And he came out and he was just like ripping backboards off. And I'm like, I got to go see this guy play. So I just remember getting to the Garden, getting down and just watching huge ass Shaquille O'Neal walk in and watching the Magic play the Celtics. That's my first Garden experience.
Mine was a little different. So I grew up, my father played hockey, but he never wanted to take me to the rink early enough. Like, hockey players, you got to get up at like 4:45 to hit the rink in time.
Crazy.
To get there. So he was like, screw that. My kids aren't playing hockey. My older cousins were huge basketball fans, and they were really good. One of them played at Boston University. Another might have been even better than that, but he never ended up going anywhere for college. But they were huge Larry Bird fans, and they used to always tell me about how great Larry Bird was. And they used to wear the number 33, like the whole nine yards. They were huge, huge, huge Larry Bird fans. So I was like 5 years old. And my parents took me to the Garden, and this was Larry Bird was like, he was winding down his career, and we went to the Garden. They took me to the Garden, and I shook. My body was literally shaking the whole time. Like, I was so excited to see Larry Bird in person that I was sitting in the stands just shaking, like uncontrollably.
That's
shaking.
Amazing.
And yeah, that was my first, I think maybe my only Boston Garden experience, because the building was ripped down shortly thereafter. But I think it was during Larry Bird's final season. And I was so excited. I could not stay still. I was just shivering the whole time.
So that, okay. That's amazing. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me. So the next question comes from at, Wham and Cheese. Let's just let that sit, sink in for a second.
Wham and Cheese.
Okay, I love this question. Which current Celtic is most likely to be mentioned in a hip hop song?
Ooh.
Bonus points if you can come up with a line. I will go first to give you a chance to think about this, because I got this answer a couple of hours ago and I have been thinking about it.
Okay.
So,
see, this is unfair. Like, I've been out here playing men's league basketball, and meanwhile, you've been thinking
biceps
about the exact lyric that a Celtics player is going to get mentioned.
Which is fine. But I'm not going to expect you to drop a lyric, although, you know, who knows? Maybe you're a top-notch freestyler, and it's just something I'm going to learn about you tonight.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about it. My answer is Jay Crowder. Now, I'm not going to rap the line because, obviously, you know.
You should probably rap the line.
My rap days are over.
You know,
I've retired.
Did they ever begin?
I've dropped the mic. Here's a funny thing, and I don't know where this recording exists. If it does exist somewhere, at Emerson College with my late friend Dell, who I talked about on the podcast before, who was a phenomenal producer. I mean, this dude was just crazy. Just he produced a 6-song EP on Reel to Reel, and he needed someone to rap on it, and I did. Now, I don't know. I don't have it. I don't know if it exists somewhere, but if it's out there, if anybody somewhere has it, by all means, I would love for that to surface somewhere. It's probably horrible.
We would make it our intro.
I would absolutely make it our intro.
Yeah.
So Jay Crowder is my choice, and I'm thinking it might be some sort of Drake song. And
here's where you're wrong. I think he's like close with Young Thug.
I'm not talking about who he hangs with. I'm talking about who would name drop him.
Young Thug is his boy, though. Like if someone's going to name drop him, it's going to be his boy, right?
Okay, sure, fine. But okay, whatever. So Young Thug could do it. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I was just thinking about who would say a line, because my line is about the club, and I say, when I step into the club, it gets a little louder. I'm going to stay until they shut it down like Jay Crowder.
Oh, man. I just got, like, the chills. Like, the bad chills you get when people who shouldn't be rapping come out and start rapping.
Shut it down like Jay Crowder?
I mean, it wasn't the worst line ever. I'll give you that.
Drake had a line about my keys go jing-a-ling-a-ling. That line is better than fucking Drake. So, whatever. I'm not pretending to be out here winning Grammys. You know, that's a line that rhymes with Crowder.
I think Isaiah Thomas is due for someone to name him in a rap.
Yep.
So
I would love that. I think Isaiah Thomas, something about Court and Short. I don't know.
About Court and Short? Come on, man. We gotta hold on to our rep right now. You're talking about Court and Short.
I just rhymed two words.
Court and Shorten?
Court and Short. Two words that rhyme. An actual lyricist might actually put together in a... Again, not pretending to rap. Not exactly... I know exactly what I am. So, that's that.
But I think IT's due for it. I honestly, amateur rappers out there, make a rap with Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder in it. Send it to us. We might put it onto our intro or our outro.
If you can make a rap that loops us all in, then sure, do that.
Send it.
Somebody's got to do that.
LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com.
I love it. That's it. Challenge dropped. Let's do it. Okay. Can we do the mystery machine now?
Yeah, this is your first mystery machine. Big deal.
It's a big deal. Okay. The mystery machine, for those of you who don't know, it comes from Jaylen Brown, who tweeted out a picture. At the beginning of the season, he bought a van that looks like the mystery machine. He bought, like, the mystery machine. And so every week, Jay and Sam Packard have been picking, what, 5 guys to go into the mystery machine. So, and those are the guys, for some reason, they've earned a spot to go for a ride for a week. You're chilling. It's a 5-day road trip, 7-day road trip in the mystery machine. So, I guess I'll go first.
Just give yourself the first pick.
I'll go out there and I'll say, I'm going to say, obviously, Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas for 22 points in the fourth quarter. The dude is I think the second leading scorer in the East. He's at near the top in the NBA. He's the second leading scorer in the fourth quarter in the NBA behind Westbrook.
But right now he is averaging 20 points per fourth quarter in his last 2 fourth quarters. He is averaging 62.1 points per 48 minutes for all of his fourth quarters this season. He has been ridiculous, man.
Jesus. And again, for the third podcast in a row, I will reiterate that he is one of three Celtics to have scored 20-plus points in their first 10 games, along with Sam Jones and Kevin McHale. And then most points through, I think I saw something, most points through 11 games.
He's only behind Larry Bird, John Havlicek, and Paul Pierce.
And Paul Pierce, yeah.
Pretty good company there. Pretty good company.
Yeah, that gets you shotgun in the mystery.
And those guys only did it one time. Like, it wasn't like they did it a lot of seasons. Each of those guys did it one season.
Yeah.
Like, he is up there right now, scoring-wise, with the best scorers in Celtics history.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And you know what?
I love it. Jalen Rose, I got to talk about this. Jalen Rose is out there on ESPN saying Isaiah Thomas hasn't had the stellar season he had last year.
Wait,
he's
Jalen
having a much better
too?
Season, Jalen.
Because Tracy McGrady said it.
I thought that was Jalen.
I saw Tracy McGrady. Jalen might have said it too. I don't know. I saw Tracy McGrady say that.
I thought it was Jalen Rose and Chauncey Billups.
No, it was T-Mac. I'm pretty sure it was T-Mac.
I'm losing it, man. But either way, just brutal, brutal.
One of us is wrong. He's averaging, all of a sudden, I don't. But yeah, you're right, though. You're right.
He's averaging 27 and 6. Like, come
bullshit.
On, guys.
It's such
he's shooting
bullshit.
60.6% true shooting. He is,
it's such bullshit.
He's leading all the elite point guards in points in the paint, like just living in there. He still hasn't even shot well on catch and shoot jumpers, and he's scoring 27 points a game. Like, Jalen. Jalen or T-Mac, whoever it was, I still think it was Jalen, but whoever it was, take a look at what has happened, pay attention, and like, okay, yeah, Kemba Walker's been fantastic. They were arguing about
right.
Isaiah Thomas versus Kemba
fine.
Walker for an all-star spot.
If you want to pick Kemba Walker, that's fine, but
yeah.
Don't be stupid about it.
Yeah, Kemba Walker has been great. He deserves an all-star spot if the all-star game was voted on right now, but so does Isaiah Thomas, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you're up next for the mystery machine.
Avery Bradley. He's leading the team in rebounding. Of all players 6'2" or shorter, he has had by far, really, the best rebounding season of all time. He's on pace for the best rebounding season of all time. And I don't think that's a good thing for the Celtics, because it would be a lot better if they had someone down low who could gobble up those rebounds. But he's just improved in every way, and he always does. And he came back, and he and Isaiah Thomas are right now carrying the load for a team that right now is number 8 in offense and has missed, as we said, two of its best offensive players for most of the season. So Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas have shouldered a huge load so far. And so both those guys absolutely deserve a spot on the mystery machine.
Yep. I'm going to go Marcus Smart with my second selection.
Yep.
Because you know what? I'm going to go with Marcus Smart for his passing. I mean, he's done a lot of different things, but we talked about it last night after the game, and I'm gonna keep going with it. Marcus Smart's passing is underrated, and not enough people talk about how good he is at finding guys. And maybe his assist numbers aren't as high as some other guys, but that doesn't matter. Like when you need a who throws a better full court pass on this team than Marcus Smart? How many guys has he found with perfect 70-foot passes so far this season? He's just amazing with his passing. He can pass, and that's not something people are talking about. But on top of that, he's just been obviously a huge boost in the starting lineup energy-wise. And even though Harrison Barnes picked on him because he had a height advantage, when the Celtics needed a play to be made, Marcus Smart straight ripped him. Not only just ripped him, got that dribble, and made a low-key awesome pass to Isaiah to get that ball in stride to get him a layup, a critical layup at the end of that
game. Yeah, that was huge.
Marcus Smart's on the seat.
Yeah, that's a good pick. First of all, before I make my pick, I want to suspend someone from mystery van contention. And that is Tyler Zeller, who it came out today, Danny Ainge said that he was the one who hit Al Horford when Horford got a concussion. Inadvertently, obviously. But sorry, Tyler, you are suspended from all contention for the mystery van. This is a worthy punishment for keeping Al Horford out for like 18 days now.
How long does this suspension last? Is this permanent?
We'll give him, so he wouldn't have made it this week, so we'll give him a 1 week suspension. Okay. He can't make it next week, no matter what he does.
He can't make it. So even if he goes out and drops 50 against Golden State.
Yeah. Sorry, bro. Sorry, bro. You're going to have to get an Uber instead of the mystery van.
All right. That's fair.
It would be, if he does get 50 against Golden State, though, we could consider taking down the suspension. However, right now, Tyler Zeller is suspended. I am going to go. So this was a really tough decision for me, because on the one hand, I have Amir Johnson, who did an awesome job against Anthony Davis and who has really, I thought, given the Celtics a lot of energy. I think he's been a real reason for their improved defense over the past four games. On the other hand, we have Kelly Olynyk, who has shown his value just by showing up. And so Kelly Olynyk wins it for me because he's just good. That's a great,
and I'll be
that's
honest,
a great reason.
I was going
to
pick
the mystery
between
machine. But he got moved into the starting lineup with Marcus Smart. And that was compared to Tyler Zeller and Jaylen Brown, who were in it. That was just two big upgrades at both positions. So Kelly Olynyk, to me, deserves it because he's come back. He's given the Celtics positional defense, which had Sam all sorts of jazzed up. and he hasn't really missed too much of a beat offensively. Like, he's come in and done a good job. So Kelly Olynyk, to me, because I thought he was going to take a while to come back. Like, you injure your shoulder, you're out for 6 months. Usually it takes a long time. He played like 26 minutes against the Wizards in his first game, and then he came into the starting lineup and helped transform the Celtics right away. So Kelly Olynyk, sorry Amir Johnson, but Kelly Olynyk gets my spot on the mystery machine.
Yeah. You know, my choices were between Marcus and Kelly. So nice to see that you chose Kelly. So now, if my understanding is correct, the fifth spot is the wild card spot. Yeah. This one gets out there.
Yeah. So you could go with someone who deserves it. You could just give it to someone who you feel bad for. You could. There are a lot of ways you can go with that fifth spot. You can really get creative with that fifth spot.
All right, I'm going to get creative with it. My fifth spot.
Uh-oh.
My fifth spot on the mystery machine goes to Demetrius Jackson, because that dude is tearing it up in Maine. And I want to give him some love. I'm going to give Demetrius Jackson some love.
All right.
Because he's going to Maine. And look, this is an important thing. The Red Claws are important to the Celtics. And they are, you got to go to the D League. And I've been on the record as saying the D League success is expected if you're going to be a good player. So if you're going to be good in the NBA, you should go to the D League and have good numbers. If you go to the D League and have bad numbers, that's a bad sign. But Demetrius Jackson, in three games, has averaging 22.3 points per game with 7 assists and 6 rebounds. 5.7, so I'm going to round it up to 6. He's shooting almost 53.5%. Now he's 33% from 3, which is a little under what you need, but that's only been 3 games. But the numbers across the board for Demetrius Jackson have been spectacular in Maine. So I'm going off the board. I'm going outside the box, whatever cliche you want to use. I'm giving Demetrius Jackson for his Red Claws domination an opportunity to ride in the mystery machine. Now, he's going to ride in the back, I mean, he's going to have to either sit bitch or just – maybe he's, like, way in the back and he's sitting in that seat that faces out the back window, but he's there.
You know what? We might have to make a rule. You got to at least appear in an NBA game to be considered for the mystery machine.
He is on the Celtics roster. He is a Celtic.
All right.
He is. I didn't give it to Abdel Nader, who's also having, by the way, a really good few games with the Red Claws. I'm just saying.
All right.
That
You did get a little wild. Like, we've gotten a little wild with the fist spot before, but that was next level. So congrats.
There you go.
Congrats.
Thank you. I really didn't see anybody else. I mean, well, okay. Yeah, I could have given it to Amir, but that would have just been, you know, everyone else, like, looking down what guys have done. Rozier has been up and down. He's okay. Jarebko's okay. Zeller is suspended. Jaylen Brown has been okay, but, you know, kind of not so great. Gerald Green, last night, I don't know if you heard it, but Gerald Green is going to start assuming my Evan Turner from early last season hate position. So he's not making anything. It doesn't leave me with much. You know, I could have gone with James Young for his Indiana performance. I could.
That's where I thought you were going to go. I thought you were going to go with James Young.
But
shout out to that performance, but he didn't continue it. So
James Young was late for the mystery machine, and he was Demetrius Jackson is waving at him through the back window saying bye as James Young is running like, "Ah, man, shit. My alarm didn't go off," or whatever.
So, there we go.
Sorry, James.
That's how to end the mystery machine right there.
That's how to end the mystery machine. And that's how to end the show, which went three times as long as I thought it would. I thought today would be a 20-minute just get it over with show, but we've gone for about 50. So nice show. And hopefully the next time we talk to you, the Celtics will have surprised the Warriors and won back-to-back games with Horford and Crowder back on the floor. But we'll have to wait and see. Reminder, of course, to rate us 5 stars. Please rate us 5 stars on iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast. Subscribe to us. If you're a first-time listener, thank you. Subscribe to our show. Get it directly to your phone. Go to our Audio Boom page. If you have an app that looks for an RSS feed, it's right there. So thanks for listening. We're back next week with 5 more shows because we are your daily Celtics podcast. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.